This audio information from Developing Patient Partnerships is designed to help you manage your health and well-being. Each module has 2 to 3 tracks. The first will give you information about the subject. The next one or two are practical skills tracks, which can be listened to regularly to help you build your learning. The following audio information is not intended to be medical advice or a substitute for medical advice. You should seek advice before relying on this audio information if you are pregnant, taking medication, involved in any form of medical treatment, or if symptoms persist.
Do you ever find negative thoughts running through your head? If you could review all your thoughts from the day, how many of them do you think would be negative and how many positive? Have you ever wondered what effects this internal dialogue has on how you feel? Well, this podcast is here to help. It's brought to you by the DPP Health at Work, the UK's specialist provider of health and well-being information. And over the next few minutes, we're going to look at how negative thought processes can affect how you feel, how stress can affect your thought process, and how to recognise the most common forms of irrational thought. Our feelings are often triggered by our thoughts. So it's no surprise that negative thoughts usually trigger uncomfortable feelings. Say, for example, someone at work passes you in the corridor and doesn't smile. Do you immediately think, they must be angry with me, or how rude and unfriendly, or she looked really fed up, I wonder what's wrong? These three thoughts will trigger completely different feelings and moods. And when you're feeling stressed, anxious, or depressed, your thoughts about things won't necessarily be a simple reflection of the way things really are. It's more likely you'll have negative thoughts about yourself and others. In fact, how you're seeing things may have become part of the problem. Because when you're under pressure or overtired, we all tend to get hold of the wrong end of the stick, to be more thoughtless and careless, to act irrationally, to get anxious about events and relationships, or make a crisis out of a drama and mistake a molehill for a mountain. Our minds and bodies are interconnected. So if you tend always to see the downside and expect problems, it could be that you've inherited a tendency to be more anxious or pessimistic. Or it might be that your past experiences have given you good reason to expect the worst. And it's a catch-22 when both factors are at work, which they often are. People who have an anxious, pessimistic view of life develop habits of thinking and feeling that make it more likely that they'll find stress harder to deal with, and more likely that they'll respond negatively to life events and daily hassles. Generally, optimists handle stress better and, on the whole, are healthier. These habits of negative perspective and thinking come about partly because of the mind's ability to learn to do complex tasks automatically. For example, when you learn to drive, at first it takes a huge amount of concentration to coordinate the skills involved. But after a while, you don't even have to think about it. You can drive and talk happily away to your passenger. In the same way, as we grow up, we learn what's safe and what isn't. How we fit into family and society, how we get our needs met, and how to relate to others. And some of us experience great difficulties with these things. But just as it's practice that allows us to drive without thinking, it's exactly the same for some of the other habits and thought processes which our thoughts and feelings just follow automatically. In fact, we become so unaware of these habits that by the time we've grown up, we don't usually question them, even though they may distort the way we see the world. Learning to use more rational thinking should help decrease the amount of negative feelings you experience. First of all, though, you have to become aware of how your conscious thoughts create a kind of inner conversation, an inner chatter called self-talk. There are many kinds of negative self-talk, and you can begin to notice them by learning a particular label for each type, just as spotting a particular bird is easy once you've memorized its name and description. You'll find yourself spotting all sorts of negative self-talk once you know what they are. Once you become aware of negative chatter, you'll then have the option to put more balanced and reasonable thoughts in their place. When you're good at this, many kinds of irrational, inappropriate feelings triggered by old negative thought patterns become much less powerful. Common forms of irrational thinking and negative self-talk. The following ways of thinking produce mental and emotional roadblocks that prevent you finding more creative solutions. Rigid have-to thinking. Rigid have-to thinking changes choices, desires, or inclinations into absolute needs. This sort of thinking usually involves words like got to, should, must, ought, and have to. For instance, the system has got to be just. People have to play fair. I absolutely mustn't be late. I've got to get top grades. I must be successful. Impossibilizing. Impossibilizing is when you turn a choice, desires, a decision, or a preference into a fact. The word can't features strongly in this sort of thinking. I can't speak in public really means I don't like to or want to speak in public. I can't control my impulses is usually I don't choose to control my impulses. Black and white thinking. Black and white thinking puts personal inclinations, characteristics and events into extreme all or nothing boxes. Such absolute words as good and bad, right and wrong, need careful reflection before they're made the basis of absolute rules or judgments. For example, someone disagrees with you and you think it's wrong to believe, feel, think that. A toddler breaks his cup and his mother says, "You're such a bad boy. Why are you such a bad boy?" Sweeping statement thinking. Sweeping statement thinking turns a difficult event into a universal blueprint for loss or disaster. Words such as always, never, and every get used in a lot of sweeping statement thinking, as in, why do I always mess things up? I'm never going to be able to do this. I get this wrong every time. Tagging. Tagging slaps a negative label on the way you do things, and so magnifies some limitation or slip-up. What a nerd. I'm such a failure. I'm so weak. Exaggeration and discounting. Exaggeration and discounting makes things much bigger or far smaller than they really are. Personal imperfections, minor difficulties, and other people's talents or errors can either be blown out of proportion or minimized. A common form of exaggeration is catastrophizing, which takes a thought and spins it into the worst possible scenario. A headache must mean a brain tumor. The boss not returning a call must mean you'll soon be clearing your desk, or your partner's grumpiness is bound to lead to divorce. Do you get the picture? Personalizing. Personalizing involves feeling responsible or taking the blame for something when there's no good reason for doing so. This can lead to a continuing sense of needing to make other people feel better, or to feel that other people's feelings or misfortunes are somehow your fault. Once you've begun to recognize your negative thought patterns, you can start to replace them with more positive ones. Negative images with positive ones, and negative self-talk with positive affirmations.